Welcome to Strength for You, a community of youth and young adults dedicated to learning how to make Jesus Christ our strength. I'm Luke.
I'm Grace.
And I'm Adam. Join us each week as we dive into the gospel of Jesus Christ and hear our friends' thoughts on how they live these truths in their daily lives.
Whether you're just curious or all in, you're invited. Let's get started.
My name is Ben Fairholm. I am in Luke's ward right here, so I'm very thankful to be out here talking to you guys' podcast. I just graduated BYU, studying political science and minoring in history, and I've worked as a law clerk for the university for the past little bit, and so they asked me to come back for another year and to become the chief of committees for BYU, so I'm doing that right now this summer, which is really fun. And on top of that, I'm just rodeoing. I'm a bull rider, and I'm just trying to keep busy in whatever way I can. So that's what I'm doing. I am.
Wait, here in Utah?
Here in Utah. My first one's coming up in Spanish Fork in few weeks. May 30th.
Oh my gosh.
You can come if you want. Yeah, absolutely. You can come.
Wait, that was so fun.
Yeah. Oh, they're a hoof. No, it's amazing. It's fun.
That is so cool.
It's not smart, but it's good.
You gotta protect those brain cells.
Hey man, I have a helmet. That's all I need.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait, that is so fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So that's our friend Ben. And to be honest, I have been so excited for this interview, because this is also a topic I'm super passionate about.
Absolutely.
And I thought you actually came to mind when I thought of this topic, because when I think of someone who always has the Holy Ghost with them.
Oh my goodness.
So not to like put any pressure.
Okay,
just
no.
To kind of like introduce that theme a little bit, the topic from the First Shepherd Youth that we're going over is titled Walk in His Light, and it's all about how Heavenly Father reveals truth to us, how we're going to receive heavenly guidance. And the section I wanted to focus on was a specific invitation that they give to do everything that we can to keep the Holy Ghost presence with us. And so those are kind of what all the questions are centered around today. But if it's all right, I'd like to just start a quote. It's from President Nelson. And this is actually one of my favorite talks of his. It was actually when he gave, one of the first talks he gave as president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he says this: in the coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost, which is crazy. That's like high stakes.
That's high stakes.
Not possible.
Keep that means towards here. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is a matter like life or death kind of thing. But he tells us specifically what we need out of the Holy Ghost. And the very first word he used is guiding. And so I kind of want to ask you a little bit about that word, guide. And because guides take us somewhere, help us in a way, right? So I wanted to ask you, what do you feel like the Holy Ghost is guiding us towards today? Or in other words, what is he preparing us?
Well, I also want to say that reading these questions just for a few minutes before even coming in, these are just such amazing questions that really got me thinking in ways I've never really thought of before. And this question really stood out to me because I've never thought of him as, we always hear that he's a guide, but I never really thought about what that meant. And thinking about it, I think my answer is that he's there to guide us towards joy. And that joy comes from hearing, being able to communicate more clearly with our heavenly parents and with our Savior Jesus Christ. That is where the joy comes from. Because in my mind, the section of the Godhead that took care of the immortal life is Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father. Obviously, Heavenly Father making the plan, Jesus Christ carrying it out. But then immortal life, eternal life is different than immortal life, right? Everyone's going to be able to live forever. That's what immortal life is. Eternal life is true joy, happiness, living with people that we love and with our Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Parents forever in a state of just bliss and peace. And I think the only way that we can really meet that is by developing a relationship with them in the first place. And I think the Holy Ghost is that key component in helping us feel the Spirit, hear their words, develop that relationship for us personally. And I think that's something that's really beautiful.
Oh my God. Wait, that was so cool. The way you said that, right? Like talking about the roles Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ have already played in our eternal salvation. like, I think we understand those really well, but the way you phrased it, that the Holy Ghost is responsible for helping us engage with eternal life, is so powerful, because right, he's a trainer for that, right? He's teaching us like, this is how you're going to do that. But it's also crazy because we're working with that here and now.
Yes.
So that means eternal life starts here and now today when you walk with the Holy
Ghost. We can feel that joy. We can feel that peace that comes through it. And I think the Holy Ghost is how we can do that.
I love that. Okay, you want to take the next question?
Sure. So this next question is actually, it's really, I feel like it's a very common question, but with a lot of answers to it.
Yeah.
So the question is, what are some specific dangers and distractions we face as young adults today that the Spirit is directing us away from?
Yeah, this one's, it's one of those basic questions, like you said, that we hear all the time. But I think it's one of the hardest ones to answer, because in my opinion, it's different for every single person. We all have, I think President Nelson said it once in a really funny way, we all have our favorite sins, right? We shouldn't, but it's true. We all have sins that we keep doing all the time. And so I feel like it's a very personal journey. Whatever main sins that you struggle with the most are probably what is going to keep you from feeling the Spirit, something that the Spirit's going to try to warn you, protect you from. But I think in a broader scope, I think one of the biggest issues and dangers that young adults face is complacency. I think we live in a day and age where a lot of people, something happens. We live in a sense of victim culture at some points. I'm not going to say at every single level, but it's like, there's nothing I can do about about my circumstances. I'm okay the way I am. And that is true. You're great the way you are. And the gospel teaches, come as you are. But the gospel also says, come as you are and help us make you better. And so you can't be complacent in your discipleship. You got to keep doing little things, reading your scriptures, praying, trying to grow that spiritual seed that you have. You can't just be hands off. That's hard.
Yeah. I think that's great. That's actually funny. That's actually the exact same thing I thought of.
Okay.
Not kidding you, because I think a lot of times people don't view complacency or even like laziness as like a sin in a way. But I think that's what Satan uses against us.
It's dangerous.
Even me sometimes, I don't realize specific times in my life or like periods where I'm like, I could be doing more. You know, I'm not doing anything wrong necessarily.
Sure.
But the fact that we're here to grow and learn, and Heavenly Father wants us to become more, is a huge part, and Satan knows that. I think that's something he uses a lot, specifically for the youth today too.
Yeah.
I think the use of like mobile phones and social media, even that draws us away from our purpose in a way. You know, it can draw us towards it too, but I feel like those things specifically also like are a key driver in complacency.
I love something that you said specifically too, is like oftentimes when we talk about these questions, like things that you're messing up on, your mistakes, your errors. But we sometimes forget about when we are whole, when we are doing really, really good, but we can do a little bit better. One of my grandfathers taught me something I love, and I think I shared that just this past Sunday. I just shared this.
This is why I love being in this war. I feel like freaking thirsty. I like the highlight reel beforehand.
This is one of my favorite lessons that my grandfather taught me. He was a carpenter. And there's one day I was watching him make something, but he was throwing these really bad pieces of wood off to the side. I'm like, Grandpa, like, what are you doing? Like, are these just like really bad pieces of wood that we don't use? And he's like, no, it is from these bad pieces of wood that I can really do something amazing with. I can be creative. I can do something awesome. I will take the broken and I will make them beautiful. I will take the whole. I will make them complete. I think that's what the Savior does for us. And the Holy Ghost helps us become something better. Even if we're broken, we can become something better. And if we're doing great, if we're whole, we can become complete through the gospel. And so that's where that complacency, you can't be complacent. You got to keep pushing. And that's when amazing things are going to come.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really agree. Nice one. Let's go. I feel this. I think I cut off some accent. That's all right. Okay. So that was kind of for my own personal, just kind of pleasure and enjoyment. That's kind of the role of the Holy Ghost, I guess you could say, kind of understanding his role as a guide a little bit better. But now that we understand that, it becomes a question of, okay, but how do we have access to that?
Yes.
And that is something that's a really big topic for people our age, because there's so much going on. Like, it can sometimes feel hard to know, what do I need to be doing to have his presence with me? So that's kind of what these next questions are driven towards a little
bit. Hard questions.
And so the first one I wanted to ask you are, what are ways that you personally have discovered to invite the Holy Ghost to be your constant companion in everything you do?
Growing up, I really struggled with prayer. I feel like I was praying and I wasn't giving any answers, that like someone would stand up in church and be like, I know that the church is true. I felt the presence of the Spirit and I can never really relate to that. And so it took me a long time to focus on making my prayers more sincere and learning how the Spirit spoke to me. And eventually I figured it out and it's been a huge blessing. So I think for me, one thing that I do with my prayers that really helped me feel the Spirit and kind of be more intentional about my relationship with the Holy Ghost too, is in every single morning in my prayers, I always ask that I might be able to recognize the Spirit's hand in my life and that I might be able to be in a place where I can respond to any promptings that I get. And so just obviously we need to be intentional with our relationship with Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. I think it's also important to be intentional about our use of the Holy Ghost as He is a gift given to us to help us feel that love and be an instrument in the hands of God to serve other people too.
That's so awesome. Right? This just tells us, you know, I'm asking you to receive. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget that even the most simple things we can ask, we're like, you want to get better at learning, recognize the Spirit and ask. Because I feel like that's probably a gift. Holy Father is really excited to help you
out. Oh, absolutely. Right? Like, of course he is. Like,
I really want to give you that one. And obviously it's not going to come without work and effort, right?
No.
Like all the best things like they do require, but he's going to, if we are genuine about our desire to be able to figure out for ourselves what the Holy Ghost is going to look like for us, then he's going to help us in our way, in our time, figure that out.
Yeah.
I think one thing that another key word that you mentioned was the word intentional. And you said that multiple times. It's a word I love. And when I was serving my mission, I was going back and like studying talks from President Nelson. And one thing that he mentioned was he invited General Conference. I don't know the context, but
sure.
Something he said was he invited us to pray, ask, write, and act. And that was something like I kind of like began to experiment with. That's something that become important to me is praying and kind of asking and then recording immediately thoughts and impressions, right? Like when you write down this is something that came to my mind about what I should do, all of a sudden you become a lot more intentional about it. It's not just something that comes in one ear and out the other, be like, okay, wait, I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
And I feel like as I demonstrate that intentionality, for me, it's journaling. Like that's just the way I do. Some people, I know everyone has their own system that works for them. But I think it's super important to show the Lord, like, hey, I am going to act on whatever you tell me to do. And if we kind of show him that, he will 100% show up, 100% give us a next step. This has been my experience too.
Yeah. Love that.
Actually, I thought of too, when you were answering the question, is something that I thought of that helps me keep the Holy Ghost throughout my day is just starting my day right. Whether that be like, It's different for everyone, but specifically, I know that when I start my day right, it helps me the whole day keep the Spirit. And when there's times where I either wake up a little late or fail to do something in the morning or just simple things like don't remember in the morning or anything like that, it affects me the whole day. And I notice that. I think it starts the night before too. I think a lot of people understand that. Preparation starts the night before. So that's just something that helps me as well keep the Spirit. Just starting with here, right?
I love that.
For me, scripture reading has always been a problem, like not a problem, but it's just like,
it's hard. It's hard to fit in the schedule sometimes.
It's hard to like do. It shouldn't be, but it is sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so even just doing that acting, like you said, starting acting, that shows the Father that you're serious. And because of that, he's going to open more doors to you.
That's great.
I think another thing too is like as you begin to act, it kind of becomes like a positive feedback cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like have you ever had one of those days where you're like chasing promptings? You know what I mean? Like you like act on one and you're like, well, that felt good.
I get another one.
Yeah. and I think you're so right. Like that beginning of the cycle is so important. Like something I love about scripture study, like for me personally, it's like, I love when I'm on a good scripture study and like the spirit like nudges me towards like a scripture, like, hey, Luke, keep reading this next verse. And I was just about to close the book and I follow the prompting and it leads to like this big insight.
Mind like, opened.
No way, I'd never seen it that way before. And then from there, it just begins to get easier and easier and easier to like follow spirit like throughout my day. But something I think that is also really important that I've come to recognize is like, I think sometimes I'll be like, well, I ignored a prompting. Guess I better go to bed and wake up tomorrow. So that way I can start all over again. But actually, that's not the atonement of Jesus Christ is for.
No.
The atonement of Jesus Christ is for, you get to start over right now. Like, we have to live our life like with the attitude, I have unlimited chances to start over. And it's the same with the spirit. Like, I missed a prompting. Where I didn't do something that I thought would have helped me get off on the right. Okay, but I'm going to start right now.
Yeah. I love that because I feel like, I don't know about you guys, I get pretty down on myself sometimes when I make a mistake. I think it's very normal if anyone feels that way.
Especially in the church.
In the church, right? We have this high standards, which is great because you don't want some that low standards. You want something that will lift you up and push you forward. But that can be hard sometimes. One of my favorite quotes, I think, I don't remember who said it. It might have been President Nelson. Probably was. I don't know. It's very insightful. He said a lot of good things.
50-50.
But he says that like the Lord loves effort because effort allows us to accomplish things that we can't do without it. And that gives me hope so many times because I fall short all the time. We all do. But knowing that, like you're saying, the atonement of Jesus Christ takes place immediately after you have that desire to change. You can change. And that the Lord will see the effort. And that effort isn't wasted. You keep trying, you keep pushing, it'll all work out. I think that's just a really hopeful thing that I need.
Keep it on the budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you guys take anything away from today, I guess start now.
Start now.
You know, like if you feel like you have a spirit, okay, great, start now. Like that's it. Just start.
I love that.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Just cut the feed right there. Cut it.
You started off good and then you did something really stupid, like said something you should not have said. Start now.
Start over.
Yes. Okay.
This next question is kind of similar to the other ones we asked you, but I think it might help some younger people watching. Mm-hmm. But as you've grown into the spirit, gotten older, matured more, what are some small things that you've begun to notice limit your capacity to feel spirit? And you got it by spirit.
It seems so simple on the paper. I think this is the question I was struggling with the most to find an answer to. Just because, one, I thought grown in the spirit was an interesting little like phraseology, I guess. But also, that's something that limits our capacity to feel the spirit. And again, I feel like that can come in a lot of different ways for a lot of people. Sin, obviously, is going to do that.
Number one.
The degree of the sin is also going to play a role in that. But I think thinking more broadly, something sometimes for me, which diminishes my ability to feel the spirit is being overwhelmed. And I feel like we've all had things because I just finishing up college, there's plenty of instances. I think everyone has felt this in their life where they feel overwhelmed with some. I have found that in the moments I feel most overwhelmed or more so stressed out, the spirit can come to help calm me down, but it's a lot harder for me to act upon promptings and feel that peace when I'm focusing on 8 million different things. And so what I have done in order to kind of get around that is every single day, I like to take minutes just to step away. During college, I always walked to school and I walked back from school. And the reason I did that, one's gotta get my steps in, right? It's good to do that. But secondly, more importantly, is in those 20 minutes to school, 20 minutes back, all I could do was just think. All I could do was just look around, listen to music, pray, do whatever I needed to do to kind of feel that calm back in my life. And I've noticed that as soon as I've taken those time to kind of take myself out of the secular, say, okay, I can't do homework on these 20 minutes. I can't do math in these 20 minutes. I can't do anything else except for just walk and listen and think. Just taking that time, getting outside of that overwhelmed state really helps me feel the spirit. Outside of the whole sin thing, obviously, I think being overwhelmed is the thing that detracts the spirit and my connection to it the most.
Yeah, I agree. I think looking back to times in the mission, I feel overwhelmed, either about whatever, would go teach a lesson.
Yep.
I would just kind of like going through the motions, you know,
mm-hmm.
and looking back, it was kind of hard to feel a spirit in that. And I think that's something to use as a guess, like you said.
All the time. Yeah.
All the time. And I think it's good that you have something that kind of pull you back and release into yourself.
And again, sometimes those distractions are great things, whether that's like, oh, I'm doing well in school, I'm studying. That's a great thing. I'm hanging out with friends, you're developing relationships. That's great. But you do need to take that time outside of that. So good distractions, bad distractions, being overwhelmed takes a lot of different faces. And Satan knows that very well, like you were saying, he will use that. So just taking yourself out, get that clarity of head, kind of gets you out of the motion, like you were saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think with this question, something I immediately point to in my life that I've seen is the friends I surround myself with. I think it's really easy to kind of disregard that sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Especially growing up in the church, and you know, maybe for any youth watching in high school, it might be a little more difficult. But I've seen in my life, when I'm surrounded by people who share the same values and similar goals, who are there to uplift each other, it plays a huge role. And sometimes it might be times where you might need to rely on those people to lift you up when you can't do it yourself in a certain period. And so I've been really blessed to have great friends like Luke and others, just to be that example to me. And yeah. I think that it helps with everything. That's something
absolutely
that I've seen that helps me be guided by spirit more to people around me.
Amen.
Yeah. I think I agree. Distraction, I guess, probably bias or something.
As I was kind of preparing for this, I thought of, and I've been experimenting with kind of that in my own life as well recently. Like, there are so many good things, but the other day I was like, I realized I was like listening to a lot of like podcasts and a lot of like information on YouTube and like a lot of like,
it's a good problem like, to have.
it was good things. Like there are good things. Like I was learning a lot, and I had this moment where it was like, I realized like, I don't feel the spirit. Like, I don't feel like God is directing your own things. And I was just like thinking about that. And like, I'd taken some time away from all this stuff. And all of a sudden I just had this thought, like, are you leaving me a spot to talk to you? And the answer was no. Like, I always had something coming in. Like, I thought of my brain as like a computer. You always have like information going in. Always have stuff going in. There's not room for the spirit to enter. And he doesn't enter as instantly as, you know, as clicking a button on your phone. He doesn't enter in as quickly as pressing play on your audiobook. You know, he doesn't enter that fast. He takes more time and reflection and quietness. So he's not amazing me and gratifying. When it comes down to it, like, if I could never listen to an audiobook again, I'm not saying you should never listen to audiobooks, but if it came down to it, I would want the spirit to be the information input that's coming in. I can't afford to be drowning them out. And so one thing I realized is like, oh my gosh, like these were fine things, but like all of a sudden I like went back to like when I was six, I had like a TV limit. Like I was one of the ones like 20 minutes or something of like,
wow,
of like an episode a day.
20 minutes.
We lied. We told that we just started, and then we watched another one episode, like 20. Like,
we've all done.
Yeah, she knows. We stole the password. She's well aware.
Hope she's not watching this, right?
That's the bleep. So, we did our chores. It was fine. But we told her we did our chores.
I know.
I just had this thought, like, okay, so maybe I need to set a time limit for good things too. Like these are mm-hmm. good things, but well, we need to create more intentional time where, like you said,
yeah.
There's nothing coming into my brain right now. There's no other input unless God wants to speak to me. And I feel like dedicating time is so important. So I think we've already gone over number five a little bit. I think that's kind of a reiteration of some things we've talked about. And so this last question, I think, is probably the most important one. I just wanted to ask you, Ben, personally, what blessings are you, Ben Fairholm, able to promise people our age if they will put in the work
to invite the Spirit to be your guide every single time.
Man.
This is your moment.
This is, oh, Spirit, don't put it up that high. The church is in trouble if I ever get to that point.
But, man. Personally,
life is hard, guys. Just to be honest, like, you will always have difficulties come into your life. That's not going to change. It's the state of living in a fallen world. But I have felt, and I can promise anyone who's seeking to develop a relationship with the Holy Ghost and understanding how the Spirit speaks to you, or getting closer to Jesus Christ and Holy Father, anything that you want to do on wherever you're at in your spiritual journey. Like I said earlier, I haven't always known if the gospel is true. I haven't always known if God even heard my prayers. And then I had a very similar experience to Luke. One day I was praying, Heavenly Father, if you're there, I just need to know. And if you aren't, then I'm gone, basically. I gave him an ultimatum, like, I need to know if you're there or not, which again is very prideful on my part. Well, might be not the smartest idea. But as soon as I was about to end the prayer, I heard a voice in my head saying, Ben, I've been here the entire time. You've just never listened. You never give me the chance to say anything to you. You always end the prayer and always get up and leave before I can even say anything to you. And that moment changed my life. And since then, I've tried my best to develop things, and I've fallen short a whole bunch of times. But what I can promise anyone who's trying to strengthen that relationship and develop themselves spiritually is you will feel an increase of joy. Happiness is a very worldly thing. True and everlasting joy only comes through eternal truths and living the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you feel that peace and you feel that love through the Holy Ghost. I can promise that anyone who's trying to do that, if you're really putting forth your best effort, and if you're really trying, you have that desire, you're going to fall short sometimes. That's okay. Just know that there are angels on the other side rooting for you, and you will feel that. And you'll feel happier. You'll feel more powerful. And you'll feel more confident in your day-to-day interactions with other people and also before God. And I think that's something that's really beautiful and really special.
And well, you heard it there, folks. Rodeo riding.
That's right.
Ben, we're home. Thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Any last words you want to add? Any or quote in scripture or anything? Or at all you'd like to add?
No, I think I'm good. All right. Thank you, though.
Okay. That's a wrap.